Will QRZ this week's rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. QRZ.com is a website that receives more than 50,000 unique hits a day. That, according to the man behind this most visited ham radio website, Fred Lloyd, AA7BQ. Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, caught up with Fred to hear the nuts and bolts, the Q&A, about QRZ.com.
QRZ got started, actually, when I was on the Internet at work, 18 years ago. Back in the early 90s, I was working for Sun Microsystems, at the time a pretty big computer company, and I had just gotten into ham radio. I got my license in 1987 out in California. When I moved out to Arizona in 88, I started surfing the Internet quite a bit. But it wasn't the Internet that we know today. For instance, there wasn't a World Wide Web or anything. It was just all text-based, mostly email and message groups. And there was one group about ham radio that I would read. And in there, people started talking about getting the FCC database, and I thought, well, that would be really great because I have a computer, I know how to program. If I could get a copy of that database, it would be great. But I was surprised that nobody had it, and then I found out why. It cost $700 at the time to order it from the federal government, and nobody wanted to spend that. And I thought, this is ridiculous. Look at how many hams there are. We should be able to do this sort of in a collective fashion. And so I went ahead and bought the database, had it delivered to my house, and I managed to read the tape. It was a half-inch tape. It's huge. Read it in, and then I wrote to the news group, and I told everyone, send me a blank tape, and I'll make a copy for you if you'll, you know, send me $20. And that worked. Enough people did it, and it paid for it, and everybody was happy. And I took my copy and started to dial a bulletin board. A few months later, I made friends with a local internet service provider that was starting to sell dial-up internet here in Arizona. And I asked them if I could put my server in their building where they had a high-speed connection. At the high speed, 1.5 megabits. They said, sure. And then I wrote a letter to the internet and asked for QRZ.com, and they gave it to me. And that started us on the Internet. We also started at the same time selling our QRZ CDs. Their first QRZ wasn't online. It was a CD. A little bit less than a year later that it finally went online.
So what year are we talking about that it went online?
1993, October of 1993.
Did you have any idea when you put QRZ.com online in 93, it would grow to where it is today?
No idea whatsoever. It was just a hobby. It was just something I was doing for fun. I was also trying to sell CDs with the call sign database on it to support my other hobby. Of course, it was just ham radio and buying gear and things like that. The CD sales were doing pretty well when I started the online part of it. The online site went along for about a year or two, maybe 3 years. Didn't grow real fast. But then I made one change that absolutely made all the difference in the world, that basically changed history, and that was allowing people to upload their own photos. And once that happened, the site started taking off in an unbelievable way. Never discount the value of vanity, I always say, and it's really, really worked. I never really anticipated it would grow to what it is now. One of the things that contributed to the growth was that in 2007, I got laid off from that big computer company, and I just looked around and go, what am I going to do now? And I decided, oh, what the heck, I think I'll just try and run QRZ full time. My being able to manage it and write more software also made a huge difference. It's hard to believe now, it's been almost 18 years.
When you talk about uploading photos and pictures, demand for bandwidth and your requirements for additional bandwidth rose exponentially as well.
It did. At the time, I started off with getting a T1 line at home, and then at one point I had to get two T1 lines upgraded to 3 megabits. That was necessary just to carry the pictures. After the first 2 years, I had 30,000 photos. Today I have 300,000 photos on the website. I no longer own servers anymore. I instead host everything in the cloud. The cloud is connected to the largest pipe in the world, and they no longer really charge me for bandwidth. They charge me instead for the amount of traffic. And it actually works out. It's working out quite well, and at this point, I don't care how many pictures someone uploads. It really never going to be a problem. You know, in the early days when I first started allowing photos, I had everyone send it to me in an email. Then I would go over it, have a look at it, and basically dress it up so that it was fit to put online. That worked well enough, except that it took a lot of human interaction. I had to actually physically edit the 30,000 photos. So eventually I decided, well, we'll just let people upload whatever they want, knowing that if anyone ever uploads something that's unsavory, someone will rat him out. And it's called self-policing, and it's worked quite well. So I really don't have to worry about a thing. If anybody uploads a bad picture, I'll hear about it soon enough.
Fred, how do you deal with hams who want to use QRZ.com for their own agendas?
We have two different ways that someone can express their opinion on QRZ. One is on their biography page. I basically don't have any complaints about whatever someone puts on their biography page, as long as it's not obscene or indecent or the usual things. For instance, we wouldn't allow someone to be racist or advocate crime or anything like that. But as long as it's on their biography page, I really don't care what they say. The one main reason for that is that I have 1.5 million call signs on the site, and any one single page is never really going to get very much traffic to begin with. The other place is in the QRZ forums, the discussion groups, and there we do have pretty strict rules about no personal attacks and no political speech, no religious discourse, of course no pornography or anything like that. And I've got a staff of volunteers that I have to say are the biggest help at QRZ. There's more than a dozen people that volunteer to help out and watch after all these forum categories, and they have the permission to delete posts and things of that nature. And so it's with the help of all the kind people that it works.
You're in the middle of an interview, Rains Hapali, KC9RP, conducted with Fred Lloyd, AA7BQ, the man behind QRZ.com. We'll continue in a moment. This is the Rain Report. Looking for input on what changes our listeners would like to see RainReport.com undergo. We'll be right back.
I gather you are the only paid employee?
No, we recently hired our daughter, and she's the new general manager of QRC, Jamie Gavin, KF7WIS. She's taking over the business end, and that allows me to concentrate on programming and keeping the machinery running in the background. And I'm very, very happy about that. Jamie comes to us from Arizona State University, where she recently earned her master's degree. And so I tell everybody that QRZ always needed adult supervision, and now it does. So we're doing well.
What kind of programs are you working on?
I'm working on a couple of things. Right now I'm working on a new identity verification system. We've had some problems with hams using a false identity on the site. It's been a problem for years, and it's never been a serious problem other than the fact that occasionally some hams are being taken in deals that aren't legitimate. For example, one guy wrote to me and said that he put a wanted ad on the site for a particular rare piece of equipment. Someone responded immediately with a call sign and said, "Yes, I have it. Send me the money." He sent $1,000 to this person and never heard from them again. And we looked up the call sign, and I contacted the individual, and they, of course, knew nothing about it. They hadn't even been on the site in months. And as it turns out, scammers from Europe and elsewhere are basically just assuming a call sign and claiming that they're somebody that they're not in order to gain the trust. So we've decided to help stem that. We're instituting a new identity verification system where we're going to establish the identity of the person on the other end, so they'll be able to wear that sort of as a badge on their QRZ page saying that this user is verified. That's one of my big projects right now. Another project that I'm working on is the logbook, the online logbook that we have at QRZ. It's gotten extremely popular, and I never have had a chance really to update it since it was first written. We're really running on version 1 of the logbook, I have the classic problem with this, and that is that it's so popular that I can't work on it while it's running, so I have to set up a whole separate environment to work on it. It's like set up a second copy of it, and it's just a huge, huge project. I hope to get some traction on it this winter, but those are my main projects right now.
Obviously, QRZ.com is a most helpful source for finding information about Joe Q. Ham. For me, as a blind ham, where I interview someone, I don't necessarily have the name or the town that they're from spelled correctly, so I find that QRZ.com has been real helpful and in some cases enable me to contact the person, since there so often is an email address attached to them. What information today is attached to a typical call sign? Is there information that the user wants to apply having to do with Twitter or Facebook?
The social information such as Twitter and Facebook isn't truly integrated into QRZ. A user can mention that on his biography. They can even put a link to it on their biography. But at QRZ, we don't link to it. We don't have the like button, for example, and things like that. The main reason for that is, it has to do with our audience. The typical user at QRZ tends to be a middle-aged man. Most middle-aged men don't spend a lot of time on Twitter and Facebook. Certainly some do, but most don't. So we really, really haven't found it necessary to integrate with those services.
And that concludes our first excerpt from a conversation Fred Lloyd, AA7BQ, the man behind QRZ.com, had with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP. We'll learn more about the QRZ.com story next time. Oh, entirely personal. If you're planning to attend the Radio Expo Hamfest in the Northeast Illinois area Saturday, September 15th, drop by Building 3 and catch a couple of forums. D-Star Basics by former Rain columnist Mark Thompson, WB9QZB, and a forum by the man behind these Rain reports, Hap Holly, KC9RP. That's Saturday morning, September 15th, at the Boone County Fairgrounds in Belvedere, Illinois. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain. All rights reserved. Now, for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from all of us at The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.